This is Dave Gloetz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article that is titled Either, From the Alley to the Council, which is the title that appears in the Reader print edition, or How Ameya Pawar Bowled Over the 47th Ward, which is the title in the Reader's online edition. I don't think I've seen that before.
I don't know what to say.
I'm not going to ask you to say anything. That appears on March 3rd, 2011, and in this article you talk about how the candidate for 47th Ward Alderman, the winning candidate, Ameya Pawar, surprised you in winning the election. And you talk about how the headquarters of Pawar's campaign was a bowling alley at which you bowl. And I got to tell you, I met a guy who bowls on your bowling league.
Yes, he is in my bowling league, but he's not on my team. There's a distinction.
Let's make sure we don't confuse that. I met him in a bar, actually, last week, and he said to me that before, he took no interest in what he called politics, what I'll call government, till he got to know you, and he started reading your columns. And that struck me as some kind of model for, call it, activating the electorate. You know, you and I have talked before about the apathy and disinterest on the part of Chicagoans when it comes to elections and what their government's doing for them and to them. And here's a guy who probably was somebody like that, I'm guessing was somebody like that. And what it took was the sort of the influence of knowing somebody who writes about these issues. I'm thinking about people who are not that interested in government becoming interested, not because of what they're exposed to in the media, but because of their exposure to people that they know who are passionate or interested in government. That's the model I'm curious about.
I'll tell you what, we're all in a lot of trouble if it takes meeting me to get interested in politics.
So I'm thinking of just taking you on a tour.
Yeah, take me on a tour, okay. Take Ben on a tour, get him out of his house. The gentleman in question, his name is Gregory, great guy. He's from, as I recall, suburban Chicago. So although he's interested in national politics and is an enthusiastic bicyclist, as you are, and so therefore cares about the environment and things like that, he never really shown much interest in local politics until he met me. And in fact, he knew me for, I would say, at least a year before he realized that I'm the guy who writes for the Reader. And so just out of curiosity, he started reading my work, and then he realized that many of the same issues, the inequity of life being the key one that motivated him to get involved in national politics, were very much alive in the local scene. You know, I tend to make light out of it, Dave, but the relative apathy of Chicago voters is a frustrating thing. There's another guy in that bowling league whose name I will avoid mentioning because I don't want to embarrass him, who, as I recall, and I can't remember which election it was, I believe it was 2003, told me, and I know I've told you this before, that he was going to proudly cast his vote for Mayor Daley because he liked the mayor for having created bike lanes throughout the city. And I took that one comment and held it against bicyclists for about 4 years until I met you, because I just thought it was one of the dumbest comments I've ever heard. So what can I tell you, Dave? It's frustrating and sort of humorous at times, but people are very slow to wake up to what's going on around them.
But in the case of the latter guy, he still was paying attention on some level, as opposed to not paying attention at all.
Well, the level he was paying attention on was so silly and so frivolous that he was probably better off not paying attention. I mean, he'd say things like, well, yeah, we have corruption, but there's corruption in other cities, even though he could not name any other city where the mayoral chief of staff was going to jail for peddling jobs. So, you know, their projects always come overpriced, as if that's an excuse for consistently being underestimating the amount a project would cost. I think that Chicagoans, at the very least, if they're happy in their life and they can get their car out of their garage, or if they have a bike lane to ride down, then they'll just either not vote or vote for Mayor Daley. Now I guess they'll just not vote or vote for Mayor-elect Rahm.
The new voiced Rahm.
Yes, the new voice. I already miss the old voice. I'm sure we'll see the old voice from time to time, or hear it, I should say.
Speaking about voting, you wrote in your article about how misguided you think that those who counted on black voters to line up behind a so-called black consensus mayoral candidate were. And that reminded me of something I just read in the most recent issue of the Chicago Reporter, and I'll read it to you. This is from reporter Megan Cottrell, and she writes that during the span of time from 1983 to 2007, the number of voters in majority black wards who voted for a candidate of their own color decreased from 96% to 36% in 2003, which sort of jives with what you were saying. But she also writes that the percentage of voters in white wards voting for white candidates remained steady, which was a pretty high percentage, 84% in both 83 and 07, and to as much as 97% in 91. I want to present that as context for statements like, you know, we have recently, we being Cook County, elected a board president, a black board president, Tony Preckwinkle, and before that, the United States elected a black president, and you sort of present them as candidates whose appeal transcends race. You with me so far?
I need to see the exact context of her study, exactly what races was she looking at in those black wards.
She was looking at the mayoral races.
All right, now we're getting to one of my favorite topics, and that is the voting habits of white people with regard to Mayor Daley. So let's leave black voters out of the question for a moment. White people lost their minds in about 1983 when Harold Washington won the Democratic primary, and in great numbers they voted for a Republican named Bernie Epton. And Washington was able to win just enough white votes and Hispanic votes alongside rock-solid support in the black community, which is what the writer from The Reporter is alluding to win that election. And then he pretty much followed the same pattern in 87 to win re-election, where, again, he got almost all the black votes and just enough whites and Hispanics to win. After Harold Washington died, it was almost like this collective decision was made by white people in the city of Chicago that they would never, ever, ever vote for anyone other than one white candidate, so that they for always, forever would have a white candidate as mayor. I don't know if that was a conscious decision on the part of all white voters or a subconscious decision or what have you. I just know this, that what emerged in the years following Harold Washington's death, or actually was emerged before he died, but it became a fixture here. No white candidate wanted to be known as the spoiler. And a spoiler is a white candidate who, when running in a race against Mayor Daley, would gather just enough white votes to enable a black person to win. I don't know how else to say it, Dave. I mean, that's just the larger voting trends over the last 20-odd years. So the writer for The Reporter is absolutely correct. When it comes to a mayoral candidate, white people were absolutely loyal to Mayor Daley. And it's something I've been writing about for the last, oh gosh, 15 years. However, moving away from this strange allegiance to Mayor Daley, which I'll never understand, you get to other races, and white voters are far more open-minded, and there's just no getting around it. And even an old dinosaur like myself must concede that.
So you're saying you would maintain your point, which I would represent as the candidate's appeal in Chicago has tended to transcend race of late, but that's not true specifically about the mayoral race when it comes to white people.
Yes, and there was a publicist I used to have a great conversation with, an electoral strategist on the West Side, a black fella. He used to tell me, this was right around the time Barack Obama was emerging, that there is a subconscious guilt on the part of white voters. This is not my theory, this is his theory. And that guilt motivates them to vote for Barack Obama. It's almost to absolve their sins for their behavior during the Harold Washington years and their behavior throughout the 90s when they steadfastly refused to vote for anybody but Daley. This is not my theory, this is another man's theory, but I'm just trotting it out there, as long as we're entertaining theories.
Well, on that thought, we'll end. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at mrradio.org for further interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.